Well, last week we talked about an uncomfortable topic, and that's been what we're going to talk about, as long as the Lord leads me, to talk about uncomfortable subjects. Now, for some of you, these topics that we're talking about are really not that uncomfortable to you. Some of you, maybe you love these things and love these discussions and love to talk about things. Last week, we talked about the end times and how people who know when Christ is going to return, and they use the eclipse as an example. And so we broke that down scripturally, but we also talked on the focus of that Christ will return and will be with us, not only now, but in the future, and he's going to save us, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. And so if you missed last week, you can look at our website and you can find our sermon. Every sermon that we do, whether it's video or audio, is posted on our website. You can find that there. Maybe you want to look at that. And thankfully, you guys came back. So that's good. So I guess we can talk a little uncomfortable talk again. How about that? This morning, I want to talk to you about another thing that's been burning in my heart that I just want to make you guys known of, but I'm not going to try to sway you or make you think another way, because that's not the purpose of this sermon this morning. I want to tell you about what God and where he stands on this topic. I don't even want to say the word, but I'm going to, because most of you, when I say, are going to go, oh, politics. Yeah, I thought it wouldn't be received well. Yeah, I want to talk to you today about why are we and how are we supposed to do things as a follower of Christ when it comes to politics and the government and what it means for us today. Let me make this very clear. Uncomfortable talks are real. Let me make this very clear again. I'm not here to try to tell you which way to vote, to feel, to believe in policy and all of that. But I do want to tell you that you have a role as a follower of Christ to do things the right way and what God wants as a model of him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Y'all, I'm Texan. I know y'all. I know how y'all feel. You don't tell people what to do. You let them figure it out themselves, right? So I'm not going to go to one party. I'm not going to point out one person. What I want to tell you is that I want to give you hope that God is in control. God sees what's going on. And that we can have belief and hope in him as we look at our country to see what's going to happen next. I love our country. It's not perfect. Boy, it's not. But let's be real. You compare ourselves to other places. We don't have people that are threatening to wipe us off the face of the planet. You can get food. You can get water. You have shelter all within 20 minutes. You can eat whatever you want. You can get whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. You can do these things because people have fought for you in order to have that and to make that happen. There are people that serve God that are in government. There's people that do not serve God that are in government. And there's people that claim that they serve God when they really don't. I was watching, because I keep up with this. I was watching C-SPAN, and this person was up there, and this politician was really preaching, you know, and how the truth will set you free. And they did their whole political agenda on how the truth will set you free. And I'm going, wait a minute. Let me grab my Bible real quick and open this up. Okay, this has nothing to do with policy. This is talking about Christ and being delivered and finding the truth and that he is the one to cling on, not your policy, but that's what they do. So be careful. But it is true. There's two things that will always be here. Three things. Number one, taxes. Number two, policy. And number three, government. Now, we all stand on different ways. We all look at different things differently, or maybe we're all kind of on the same page. I'm not sure. But what I'm here to tell you is that we as followers of Christ may not serve government, but we do serve God. But God also gives us an instruction on how to live as we are in a place where there is government. Let me just kind of simplify that. Number one, God and government are not the same. The government will tell you that they'll take Romans 13, which we'll read in a minute. Some will take it and say, look what your Bible says. You need to do whatever we say. Right? There's that side. And then there's the other side that is completely against it and say, we should just take the Bible out altogether. Or there's maybe another side that says, we're going to follow the Bible and the teachings and place it into our policy. One thing is clear, though. God and government are not the same, but God's hand is in government.
Right.
Let me read in Romans 13. If you have your Bibles, you can join me. You can read it on the screen. Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. And he said, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities of God's servants sit for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Remember that part on the clear conscience. Verse 6, pay your taxes too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everything what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. So this is a great passage that explains that what are we as followers of Christ supposed to do? I have one side that says don't listen to the government at all. I have the other side that says do whatever they say and they will help you. I have another side that says, okay, I'll be a lawful citizen, but at the same time, you're not going to force me to believe something or do something that goes against my convictions and beliefs. And then there's all the little things in between. So this is such a broad topic. I don't want to spend a month on this, but what I want to tell you is that God and government are not the same. But God does appoint leaders in government. Now, we have some people that work for the government, right? Now, don't worry. They're not CIA. They're not going to spy on you, right? But we got some people that work in local government, state government. I have, you know, I do prison ministry. That's federal government, all right? There are people that are teachers and work in school. That's local government as well. There are people that serve on school boards that are in this church. I love that. I love it. And what I love is that there are those that put their Bible beliefs and convictions into there and protect these kids that can have a Bible with them and protects their rights, but also does the school better. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't think Christians should be in government at all. Okay. Some of you say, well, it wouldn't hurt to have some Christians in government and, you know, try to straighten things out. Okay. And then there are some that say, well, we should put everything we have into government and see what happens. Okay. If that's where you're at, that's fine. But what I want to tell you is that God gave us instructions on how to approach this, and that is to be a lawful citizen and to glorify Him even if you don't agree with it. And even if it's against what you believe in policy, it's against what you believe when you come to beliefs and convictions. I know that it's difficult, but you can stand up for Christ even to rules and rulers and authorities. But be careful. Make sure you're glorifying God. But God appoints leaders. Now, some of you are looking at maybe your local representative, state representative, federal representative, and you go, are you sure God really appointed them? Yeah, okay. Yes. That's what Paul says. Sometimes we go, what in the world is going on? But sometimes God uses people that you would never expect. In fact, God has used people in the Bible that didn't even serve Him.
Right.
But He did. He appointed that leadership to take place. Mm-hmm. And the people either followed it, rejected it, or were all for it. Whether it was good or it was bad, but God does appoint leaders. And we are called as believers to be a good citizen, to glorify God in what we do. Mm-hmm. Now, the good thing is none of you in this church, I've never seen you, do something illegal because you didn't want to do it, or you were mad and assaulted a politician or anything. None of you guys are like that. I know on some of these things I preach to the choir, but I also want to give you hope as well. You see, there's something about this current climate. Everything, you get a little anxiety. Let's be real. Inflation's high. Wars around the world. You're wondering what the future is going to be. There's people who come to me and come to the church and say, I don't know if I'm going to make it next month. This is real. Like, this is just in Italy alone. So there's things that we have to look at. There's things that we as citizens need to do. We have an obligation. I want you to vote. I want you to voice your opinion. I want you to go out there and be a faithful model and citizen of Christ. I'm not saying stay out of it, but what I am saying is that God is in control.
Yes.
God sees what's happening. God appoints leaders, whether you like it or not, and God sees what's going on. I hope that gives you peace and hope, because nothing is out of God's control. I know that maybe you voted for someone and they didn't win, or maybe you did vote for someone and they win, and the opposite side and vice versa. Look, let me tell you something. God knows what's going on. God is in control. God appoints people. And he sees where we are at now. God is faithful to you. And he will be with us. And he is with us now. Let's go to another text. Mark chapter 12. And some of you are probably going, man, you're normally not this uncomfortable whenever you preach. Why are you talking about this stuff, right? But we are called to do this. And people are going to bring up things and our opinions, just like in this text. So let's see how Jesus responds. In Mark chapter 12, verse 13 through 17, it says, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something which he could be arrested for. And they said, "Teacher, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and you do not play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we?" And so Jesus saw their intentions. He saw their approach. He saw what they were doing. And it says that Jesus saw their hypocrisy and they said, "Why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you." And so when they handed it to him, "Whose picture and title are stamped on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God." You see, this was a hot topic. You had one side, the Jews, who didn't want to pay the Romans anything. They thought Jesus was coming to just tear down the government. I mean, you know, they're going to set up their throne, their kingdom. They're going to make it right in their eyes. And then you had the ones that were in support of it, the people of Herod. And to pay, as Paul talked about, to do things. Now, obviously, there were some things that were not right in that government, but they had two sides. How is Jesus going to approach it? And Jesus knew this trick. And what he was referring to is literally saying to pay a debt, to make things right. And that includes the government. Jesus is saying you need to pay and give to what they are saying, but you need to also give to God. He approached it as those who want, who's a faithful citizen and model, and to trust in God, and to say that no matter what, I'm going to serve him. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into that, let me tell you a story. When I was in college, I got audited twice. And I was in college. I was broke, right? Twice. And so the first time was, I guess, just like a, I don't know, making sure you don't have any money. I don't know, but they audited me and I'm like, okay, here's my paperwork. And then they audited me again a year later, right? And during that time, I struggled. Because like I said, y'all, I'm Texan. I got my come and take it flag and I'm like, let's go to battle. Come on, man. You can't take anything from me. I don't have anything. What are you gonna take from me, right? So I had to make this defense that I am doing the right things. And I had to stand against the government and say, look, I'm not hiding anything. I didn't do anything wrong. But they were adamant that I did. And I had to literally almost go to a hearing after my second proposal or whatever you call it. I can't remember the terms they use, but it goes to them, then it goes back to you. It's kind of like tennis, you know, it's your serve. And so the second time around, I just told them, I'm not doing anything wrong, and I am not going to be punished. It's unjustified. It's wrong. And I am going to take this to a hearing if I have to. Well, somebody looked into it, and they said, yeah, you're right. You're good. Now, does that make me an unfollower of Christ? No. I'm simply standing for what is right. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something right now. If I was in the wrong and I had to pay, I need to pay. And he'd fix it. And even if it is with interest, don't you love that? I say, you owe us this plus 2 years interest?
Yeah.
Like, what? Right? It was hard. And I will pay what I have to pay. But there's nothing wrong with standing up for what you believe in as well. There's nothing wrong with standing up for what is right. In fact, the Bible echoes that's good. Now, we know that when man touches something, it eventually needs some help or it falls. And that is government. That is the country. That's who we are. But we are called to live and to respect and to do the right things. But we're also called to stand for Christ first and foremost and after all. And that's my third point this morning, which is serve God, not man.
Right.
Let's be real. We very well could be at a point where we're going to have to make a decision. Either I preach the gospel, and if the Lord tells me to speak on something in the Bible that may be controversial or hurt someone's feelings, I may be arrested for it, for hate speech. I'm just being real, y'all. Now, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon here, but it could. If that happens, and you're speaking to someone, and it's against the law to talk about Jesus Christ or to talk about maybe it's sin, and maybe it's a topic that hurts people's feelings. And if you talk about it, now listen, y'all, there's other countries that do this now. So I'm not, you never know, it could happen. If that happens and it takes place, I want one phone call from you in jail, and we'll do whatever it takes to bail you out. Because you are serving God, not man.
Right.
Now, wait a minute, Pastor, you're saying that they just broke the law.
But ultimately, God and government does not mix. God is the ultimate authority. The Bible's ultimate authority, not man.
Right.
We need to make our minds right. We need to make sure that no matter who the person is that's running for a certain office, we need to make sure and say, God's in control. God has this. I'm going to vote. I'm going to look at what they stand for. I'm going to look down the list and I'm going to vote. But God's in control. And if it doesn't go our way or your way or my way, and you sit there and now they start putting in things that goes against what you believe in, you serve God, not man. I'm not saying uproot the system. I'm not saying, you know, we're forming a militia here or anything like that. But I'm saying that ultimately it's not government that what defines us and who we are. It's God.
Yes.
And what he has done for us. Amen. I want to go to one more passage this morning. Acts chapter 5, verse 24 through 32. This has taken place. We're in the book of Acts here, right? So Christ has already ascended. We're seeing the fall of the Holy Spirit, and many, many people are being saved, and the leaders, or the government, you should say, the leaders there, they're upset that they're talking about Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 24, when the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard what they were talking about, who is Jesus, wondering when it would all end. Someone arrived with startling news. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple, teaching the people again. The captain went with his temple guards. They arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders, they said, to never again teach in this man's name. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. They're talking about Jesus. And this is what Peter said. Peter replied, and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things. So is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. God is our ultimate authority. God is in control. God sees what's going on. Ultimately, we are to trust in him. God has control of situations. It may seem chaotic. You may be full of anxiety. You may be stressed out. You may see what's happening all around the world. But guess what? God already said this was going to happen. This is what's called birth pains. This is what's called setting up for God's ultimate plan. And so we need to make sure and be reminded that God is in control of this. Let me conclude with this morning. I'll be honest with you. We're going to see a lot of elections, things coming up in November. And I know it's a sensitive topic. I can feel the tension in the room. And that's okay. Because you guys care about your country. So do I. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But one thing I ask that you do, and I always say this to anyone who asks my opinion, vote with your Bible. Have your Bible in mind. Have it with you. In your hearts. What would Christ want? Now listen, let's be real. A lot of politicians, they don't qualify to be on the church board. Let's be real. A lot of politicians don't even qualify to be church members. Alright? I'm not telling you to look at that. That's a good thing. But ultimately, you got to look at what's there. You have an obligation to vote. Vote with your Bible. May not be many things to point out, but what would God say? What do you think would happen if Christ were voting today? And I know that's hard, that's heavy, that's deep. But just consider that. Because we're called to follow Christ and exemplify Him.
Right.
And even when things don't make sense, you get upset, mad, angry, or happy, joyful, whatever it may be, we're to glorify Him. And ultimately, friends, let me remind you again, when you talk about these topics, and they will come up, they will. You may bring them up yourself, whatever it may be. But let me just remind you that God is in control. God appoints leaders. God sees what's happening. And God cares about you. He cares about us. And no matter what, we're to serve God, not man, in everything we do. Would everyone please stand this morning? As I said, this is a different Sunday. Normally, you know, we there's different things that are talked about. This is kind of different. This is not the greatest altar call lead into, and you know, we don't have some things to work on during the week. But let's be real though. Maybe you're a little bit worried right now. I know I'm preaching to the choir on some of this stuff, but maybe deep down you're worried. You look at the state we're in right now. You kind of worry about what's going to happen to your kids and grandkids if the Lord doesn't return. In 20, 30 years, where will we be? Where will we be? If we start getting threats from other countries, or we start getting terrorist attacks, or we start to see our bank account going lower and lower and lower, and prices are going higher and higher and higher, and I think we're all experiencing that now. There's a lot of things to worry about. But guess what? God is in control. And He sees what's going on. I want everyone to bow their heads, please. We're going to pray this morning.
Yes.
And when we do that, you may say, you know what? This sermon has hit home. And it's on my mind all the time. I'm worried about the future. And I don't know what's going to take place. And I just need a little prayer and peace, knowing that God is in control and that I'm going to serve Him and not people, whatever I do. If that's you, would you raise your hand? And I just want to put you on my prayer list. Thank y'all for your honesty. Thank y'all for your honesty. That's what I love about some privacy in church, is that we can just be open and honest.
Yes.
Because this is a real thing. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord
Jesus,
I pray this morning for us. Lord, you tell us to pray for our leaders. You tell us to pray and to provide. And Lord, I pray that prayer this morning. Lord, I pray that we're reminded to pray for our leaders. Whether it's our boss all the way up to the highest authority, that we pray for them. Lord, we pray because we know that you are in control. We know that you not only see the future, but your big plan is in the future and that we have to trust in you. And God, I pray, Lord, that when anxiety comes and there's times where we're not sure what we do, we again look to you, Lord, and say, God, here we are. And we pray it through. We pray it through. And we continue to pray until we find peace. And sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you allow that so that we draw closer to you. Sometimes we have to just develop patience and trust in Him more and more. Whatever it may be, Lord, I pray for them, Lord. Give them peace. And may the anxiety cease in those situations. And Lord, I pray for our country. And Lord, the ultimate prayer that we pray is for revival. Lord, I pray for revival to sweep this nation. And that people that are lost will find you, the true you, who you are, in your word. And I pray, Lord, that when that happens, we embrace it. And that, Lord, your name be glorified for your return. That is our prayer, Lord, for our life. Whether it's immediately or in the days to come, we pray that. And Lord, we pray that your name be glorified in whatever we do. And Lord, if we are struggling and wrapped up in this world and not serving you, may you forgive us of our sins this morning. May we start new and have this new mindset, this new us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.